Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, another middleweight clash. Jack Hermansson taking on Joe Pyfer. Excited for this one, as I was for this previous weekend, which I got into in the aftermath. I'm about to do that after we record this now, so make sure you check that out. A really interesting stylistic matchup, this. Of course, there's a big experience difference for Jack Hermansson compared to Joe Pyfer. But I do kind of feel like it might be Joe Piper's time, if that makes sense. Like, Jack Hermansson has been a very, very good fighter for a number of years, through Cage Warriors into the UFC. There was one particular point in his career, which I'll touch on in a second, where he had a really good streak, and everyone was like looking at him like, okay, he's going to be in for a title shot very soon. But then since that point, he's alternated wins and losses. Now, if the pattern continues, he is due a win in this next fight. But he is fighting Joe Pyfer, and this guy, just his general intensity. The guy is a very intense individual, very excited. You know, thank you for the effort opportunity is the thing that stands out to me from his contender series fight. But of course, you'll remember he had that horrendous injury that put a TKO loss on his record, and he lost a chunk of time. And you know, I can't remember where the interview was, but I remember listening to him talk in one of the features where he's, you know, talking about the fact that he was starting to feel at one point like, you know, his dreams might not come true. He might not become the UFC fighter that he's been dreaming of. But then to be able to get the opportunity and then to take that opportunity and run with it like he did, I feel like this momentum that he's got is, it counts for a lot in mixed martial arts. It really does. It counts for a lot, not only in the perspective of the fans and the opportunities and the hype that comes with you. Like, you walk into fight week and you're like the hot guy. Like, the hot guy, that sounds really weird. You're like, you're hot shit. You're like, you're the guy everyone's talking about. Like, when you walk into the building, everyone's like, oh, there he is. That takes you to a whole new level. You know, sometimes it can have a negative effect and you can get a little bit too big for your boots, you could say, but I don't get that feeling with Joe Pyfer. I feel like he's finally recognizing and realizing that he is fully capable of doing what he wanted to achieve. The distant memory of living in his coach's basement and wondering if he was ever going to be here is behind him. And that counts for a lot in mixed martial arts. You know, the more I watch MMA, the more it is a game of inches and the person that can make consistent good decisions one after another. But good decisions come from confidence, and confidence comes from a variety of things. But success is a big one of them. And Joe Pyfer's a winning fighter right now. And the thing I like about his game as well is that it's not overly complex. You know, he doesn't start doing wild things when he's like, you know, well, my gas tank's hit half full, I'm going to start doing spinning attacks. You know what I mean? There's just none of that. It's a nice, basic, stiff jab and a clean, accurate cross and beautiful hooks. I just love a simple game that's applied well. We saw good kicks from him against Al-Hassan when he was southpaw as well. And I do feel like kicks could be a big part of the game for Joe Pyfer in this one, especially for Jack Hermansson's lead leg. Because the thing that people tend to struggle with Hermansson is how unorthodox he is. What was it Chris Curtis said in the corner? He's goofy. That's a good way of putting it. And like, there are fighters that occasionally a fighter comes around that kind of doesn't seem to move in a normal rhythm. It's an odd thing to quantify and to clarify for you. But if I say Keith Jardine, a lot of fans that have been watching this sport for a while are going to go, yep, I know exactly what that is. Herky jerky, that's another good way of putting it, that Dom Cruz for some reason hates you saying on commentary. He always fights against the herky jerky. I don't know, what is that? It's a difficult thing to quantify, but what you see with Jack Hermansson is this unusual kind of bounding and bouncing, and his feet don't always do the same thing. There aren't these consistent patterns to the way that he moves. And a lot of his movement is down to how he feels about the fight, his confidence in the fight. Can he move into range and sting the person? If he rushes into range and clinches up, you know, how does his Greco fare against the person that he's up against? A lot of these different things will be determined when we first see Jack Hermanson step onto the canvas in that first round and see how he moves and what Joe Pyfer's got to deal with. Ultimately, Pyfer's got to try and take away some of that unorthodox movement, because otherwise he'll just stand and find himself waiting like Chris Curtis did. And, you know, you saw the frustration from Chris Curtis that he wasn't getting the fight that he wanted. But then Jack Hermanson just played a very, very clever game. And I expect him to try and do the same thing with Joe Pyfer. Okay, let's quick tailor the tape and then I'll pick up where I was. So Jack Hermanson, clear experience advantage, 23 wins and 8 losses on his record, 12-2 for Joe Pyfer. For Jack Hermanson, 11 wins by knockout, 6 wins by submission. Rear naked chokes, guillotines, armbars, and a heel hook against Kelvin Gastelum. The thing that we remember from Jack Hermanson is the Jokerteen, you know, the thing that he kind of labeled himself. And it's a beautiful submission. You know, we saw him land it against David Branch and Gerald Merchart, and he was very, very close to getting Jacare with it in the first round of their fight as well. So he was on this little bit of a run, and it's an unusual guillotine. The reason why it's different is because the arm of the opponent is across the body trapped, so they're kind of offset to their opponent. Like a normal guillotine, the person can be quite, you know, on top of you. Whereas the Jokerteen, you're off to one side and you've got your leg thrown over to kind of anchor the far side hip. And he was very, very good at finding this position and cinching it up. And the other thing as well about Jack Hermanson, when you go back to that streak. So the streak was Talis Latis, Gerald Merchart, David Branch, and Jacare. The David Branch fight was beautiful because you saw that beautiful spinning takedown where he reestablished the foot sweep a couple of times, eventually got the fight to the floor and was able to clamp onto that Jokerteen as David Branch was trying to scramble back to his feet against the fence. The Gerald Merchart fight was an absolute hammering from ground and pound. And this is really where Jack Hermanson, I feel, is overlooked in his MMA career. If you find yourself in the bottom position against Jack Hermanson, his ground and pound is very, very dangerous, and it's very calculated as well. He's very good at looking and seeing where the targets are. Same as Gunnar Nelson, another fighter that's very calculated. They're not just wailing on their opponent and looking at the referee like, have I done enough yet? Stop the fight. You know, stop the fight. I'm that guy. So Jack Hermanson, if he finds himself in this fight on the floor, if he's on bottom position, he's got his heel hooks to attack. If he's in top position, it's got to be ground and pound. It's going to be very difficult for him to get into the top position, though. And of course, I feel like this is going to be more of a striking fight. And if someone does engage a takedown, it's most likely going to be Joe Pyfer. I feel like Pyfer is going to feel like he can smash through Jack Hermanson's ground game, the unorthodox nature of it, the potential to get his neck tangled. Like the effortless way that Joe Pyfer just picks people up and just slams them to the floor. It's quite clear that anybody trying to break his posture, trying to control a limb or anything, is going to have a tremendous amount of energy wasted trying to do that. So I think Jack Hermanson is going to play with this unorthodox movement from the outside, keep bounding in and try and sting and pick at him best he can. If the range does close down, Joe Pyfer has got beautiful power doubles. We've also seen him just lift people up from a body lock and slam them. For Jack Hermanson, it's far more about creating momentum with twists and spins. He loves reaps and trips and those kind of takedowns. But more of an entanglement with Jack Hermanson with takedowns, whereas Joe Pyfer is more about driving through or lifting up and slamming. Going back to their records, so we went through Jack Hermanson. So 11 knockouts, 6 submissions, 2 rear naked chokes, 2 guillotines, armbar, heel hook. Joe Pyfer, 12 wins on his record, 8 by knockout and 3 by submission, 2 rear naked chokes and an arm triangle. The reason why the arm triangle is an interesting one to focus on is because if you go back into Jack Hermanson's career, you go to his second UFC fight back in 2016. It was a really, really good fight to watch, worth a watch. He was fighting Cesar Fajardo, and the arm triangle that he got caught in, he was fighting and fighting as best he could. But the power and physicality of Fajardo was just enough just to slowly squeeze the life out of him, and eventually got the submission. I would imagine if Joe Pyford is able to take this fight to the floor, he's going to be focused on controlling from top position and ground and pounding, and looking to try and get past to start working on that arm triangle. The arm triangle and the rear naked choke both fit together very nicely when it comes to submissions. Chaining one to the next can work very well. You can go from being on someone's back in a rear naked choke to circling around and being in an arm triangle position. Or you can be in an arm triangle position, the person's bridging out, and then you sit through and take their back when it's exposed. So those two pieces fitting together are going to be really useful for Joe Pyfer. And of course, the more damage that he can do to Jack Hermanson, the better, the easier it's going to be to get those kind of things. Because with the experience that Jack Hermanson's got, you've got to imagine the amount of different problems that he's found himself in over the years, different situations, not only in the training room, but also in actual fights where he's had to get himself out of some pretty tough situations. I mean, you know, you look at the guys that he's fought, he's gone through some really, really tough individuals. Of course, you know, the likes of Cannonier, Kelvin Gastelum, Vettori, Strickland, you know what I mean? He's been, educating himself at the top of the sport for a while. But I also do feel sometimes like experience is a huge advantage coming in. But I also feel like momentum and, timing more than anything. I feel like it just kind of feels like this is Joe Piver's opportunity to really show people. And he might just not quite be ready. But part of me feels like he's going to have that calm, patient, take the space away from Jack Hermanson, potentially do some damage to his lead leg, and then start looking at putting that jab on his face as often as possible. If Jack Hermanson can keep breaking his rhythm and changing his direction and his movement, he might be able to keep Joe Pyfer at range so he can, you know, build up a kicking game, which is, you know, Jack Hermanson can do a lot of damage and, you know, catch people with very unorthodox stuff. You know, this is the range where he's most likely going to do his best work. If it closes down, then he's got to look at trying to tangle necks up of Joe Pyfer. Let me quick go back to the tail of the tape because I didn't finish that, did I? So a 1-inch height advantage to Joe Pyfer and a 2-inch reach advantage to Jack Hermanson. Of course, average fight time for Jack Hermanson is going to be longer. It's more than double the amount of the average fight time of Joe Pyfer. But I mean, that is basically because of the amount of fights that Jack Hermanson's had. It is also worth noting that this will be Joe Pyfer's, I think it's the second 5-round fight that he's been scheduled for, but the only other one was earlier in his career. I think he was like 5-0 or something like that, and he stopped the guy in just over a minute. So, you know, or they may have trained for a 5-round fight. Doing a 5-round fight against someone that you know can fight 5 rounds, that's going to be a new test for Joe Pyfer. And I, you know, I don't have any reason to question his conditioning, especially because of how calculated he is with his output. But of course, the exhaustive nature of Jack Hermanson's movement can be tiring enough. So at some point, Joe Pyfer is going to have to start to try and take control of this fight. But the extra 2 rounds on the end might give him a little bit of time to let Jack Hermanson kind of work out his initial energy burst. Ooh, Jamie. Can't get the staff these days, people, honestly. You know what I mean? There's literally two of us in the room. One of us got their phone on, you know? I don't know. Jamie. So, yeah, it's, you know, this is a good opportunity for Joe Pyfer to really prove himself against someone that is well-recognized and well-respected in the MMA community. The skills that Joe Pyfer's got, he's only going to continue adding to them. And there's a great feature, actually, on UFC Connected. Megan O'Leary opens the show and then throws this feature on the gym, and it's a cool setup. Sean Brady on the mat and a few of the guys that you'll recognize. Seems like they've got a really good vibe going right now, and you tend to find this kind of moves from one gym to another. At one point it was AKA and they had all the good guys, and they, you know, it was DC and Rockhold and Kane and Koscheck and Swick and Fitch, and it's like you've got this thing going on, all these guys, and then for whatever reason it kind of migrates to another gym, and then all of a sudden it's Alpha Male and there's, you know, Garbrandt and Dillashaw, etc. It's unusual, but this is a gym to watch out for, because I definitely feel like that high vibration MMA success is moving in this team's direction. They're doing the right things. What else? So average strikes, Jack Hermanson, again, he's going to be slightly higher. He's had more fights. He's had opponents in positions where he can really wail on them as well. So he's added to his striking statistics there. Accuracy and defense, much of a muchness there. Of course, the takedown accuracy and defense is going to be interesting for this one. I just don't feel like we've seen enough of Joe Pyfer's wrestling and grappling game to really fully appreciate how he's going to match up with Jack Hermanson. But I do feel like this is the opportunity that he needs to prove how strong he is in the wrestling and grappling ranges. But same again. I mean, you know, although he does like the occasional lift and slam, it's quite an efficient game that he's got. You know, he tends to just kind of work people over with good, calculated, punishing shots. And we know he's got power as well to back it up. I normally like to do my knockdown ratio, but Jack Hermanson's had 1,178 total strikes, and he's not credited with a knockdown. He has got great ground and pound, and that's really where he does his most damage with his strikes. But Joe Pyfer's had 208 countered total strikes in the UFC and got two knockdowns. So, you know, about every 100 strikes that Joe Pyfer lands, he's putting his opponents away. And he averages between sort of 25 and 45 punches a fight as well. He doesn't really tend to have a massively high output. It's very, very calculated, which is why I feel like over five rounds, it's gonna suit him. I feel like we're gonna see a new level to Joe Pyfer. I'm excited for this one. I mean, maybe it feels like I've been talking a lot about Joe Pyfer and not so much about Jack Hermanson, but over the years, like, we've covered Jack Hermanson a lot. I've talked about him a lot. You know, we can go back to the Joker teens and the, you know, the beautiful ground and pound that he's got. But he's alternating wins and losses right now. This is about consistency. And Joe Pyfer is a very consistent fighter, very difficult to overcome. It's going to be difficult for Jack Hermanson to go in there and impose his game on someone like Joe Pyfer, especially with the confidence that Joe Pyfer's got coming in. 4-1 as an amateur, all his wins were finishers. And that was the one other thing as well. I forgot to get his opponent's name. Hang on, it'll be on here. No, it's not. I need to go further back in his career. It was the fight that he won on the Contender Series. Go back and watch this fight. It was a beautiful little setup. He'd worked a couple of left hooks to the body of his opponent, and you could see one of them had landed fairly well. And sometimes it's like when you hit somebody with a good low kick, what they're going to do, they're going to try and low kick you back. It's like this one-upmanship that people kind of get caught in. And anyway, Joe Pyfer had landed this beautiful left hook, and his opponent came back to throw the same left hook. And you see him just drop his elbow and throw a short counter hook at the same time. Catches his opponent clean on the chin. It was a beautiful punch. Again, simple basics applied very well. And if that punching stat is true that Jamie mentioned earlier, the punch machine, I'd like to see how hard he can punch, but he looks like he's a thunderous individual. It's going to be volume. It's going to be unorthodox movement for Jack Hermanson, and potentially trying to snag a neck in a scramble or something like that. But if he gets in top position from a knockdown, from a trip spinning, scrambling takedown, and he finds himself on top position, ferocious ground and pound to guillotines for Jack Hermanson. For Joe Pyfer, I feel like it's just going to be steady basics, and I'm interested to see how he deals with the five rounds. But I think, given the way that he fights, I think it bodes well for him. All right, enjoy these fights. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.